This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Dove Ellis. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, Dove is an Irish singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, really talented guy, and he's kind of just taking off. Can you talk to me a little bit about your chat with him and hearing live songs from his debut album?
The dove is just starting to fly. Is that what you're suggesting?
The dove is just taking liftoff.
Our little fledgling. Dove Ellis is an extraordinary musician and one of really high artistic integrity and caliber. And he's been making music for a while. He put some music out on Bandcamp and then a bunch of different labels recording him. But he didn't go with any of the major labels. He decided to just, you know, go with an independent label that he really appreciated. And I think that takes a lot of guts and it takes a lot of integrity. And it's no wonder that he was being courted because his music is really quite extraordinary. I mean, the first time I heard that song, To the Sandals, I got chills. It's such a wonderful, like, all-encompassing, beautiful song. And the whole record, too, his debut. But this record, Blizzard, you know, at the time, we didn't know this, but it was shortlisted for a Mercury Prize right alongside, like, Paul McCartney and Ray. So, like, it's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
And this is based on merit. I really love this guy. And, you know, the interesting thing about him, too, is that he's not looking for fame. You know, he, in fact, didn't even really do any interviews before we had done the interview with him. He was kind of like, oh, wait, I thought I was just performing. I didn't know I had to talk. I don't know if I want to do that. So, like, not super interested in, like, self-promotion. He just wants the art to speak for itself. But then I was like, let's just try. Let's just have a little
coffee talk.
If you don't want to, then we can stop at any time. But, you know, turned out to be very gracious and very forthcoming. And it was a lovely chat. And I'm so glad I got to meet him and see him live in our Studio A. You're going to love this live performance.
These songs are so beautiful. What is the first song that Dove is going to play for us?
Feathers, comma, Cash here on WFUV. It's Dove Ellis.
We make steams running in the shine. Dogs on the glass, a face and an ass. From the dampness of power, from the failures that will be. Slow times, I miss your repentance, correcting my sins. You put my head in a spin, then you'd flirt me right out. Oh, the casserole has its eyes on you. Cats and otters all slick, by the sunset. We had them dancing our tricks, you know. Oh, well, for my sins, my one polished ore, my sister in braille, on the top bunk in jail, the songs
live version of Feathers Cash here on WFUV. That is Dove Ellis in performance, a song from the debut album Blizzard. And the performance truly did blow us away. Dove. Okay, wait, no, I'm not going to call you Dove. I'm going to call you Tom. Your real name is Thomas O'Donohue, I feel like I can call you Tom.
You definitely can call me Tom. Yeah, that's easier and sort of slicker. So let's try that, I think.
So Tom, tell me a little bit about, is it okay if I ask about your lore? Since
100%,
I don't know it.
No, that's good. I probably don't know it either, but
let's
give it a go.
Uncover it right now, 100%, if we can.
Let's uncover.
So what's the deal with this bird stuff?
Bird.
Dove Ellis.
Well, no, I've never seen a dove actually, and I've never seen one. I don't know actually. It just sort of sprung to me. There's a children's book in Galway, which is where I'm from, which is called The Flight of the Doves.
Uh-huh.
And that's the thing. Like a lot of kids read in school when they're like 9 or something like that. And it sort of was the characters in the book. The second name is Dove, and that's sort of where maybe Dove came from, very loosely. But I don't really know where Ellis came from either. It's been quite a while now. But I think it just sort of happened. It was one of those things, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, yeah. Same with songs, you know what I mean? You don't really remember writing songs. They just sort of like happen, I guess. That was sort of one of those things.
Is that right? You just kind of like go into like this other, you're like meditating and all of a sudden a song comes out.
I don't know. It's definitely not that peaceful. Like it can be really antagonizing thing writing songs as well. But I still don't, like I think I'm too unaware of myself or something. I'm too lacking in self-awareness. That's the word to remember it when I write songs. That's something like that. Do you know what I mean?
That's probably good to be lacking in self-awareness because you can just kind of, you know, let everything out.
Ignorance is bliss. Yeah. No doubt about it.
It's true. It's true.
There you go.
So this album, Blizzard, is your debut album. Congratulations.
Thank you very
much. By the way. But you did put out an EP before that. Not long before it, though.
No, yeah. I put an EP out on Bandcamp. It was a thing, like, I kind of was very daunted by the idea of putting music, like, online. Because back then, like, I, you know, like, nobody knew who I was and stuff. And I was like, I don't want to put it on Spotify if nobody's going to listen to it. But I mean, these days I think maybe I should have just done that. But anyways, I just made like an EP on like a tape machine in my room, like a 4-track kind of Tascam thing. So it was very sparse, very noisy, very unclear, but it was really fun. And I was spending quite a lot of time in the studio at that point, and I was becoming a perfectionist, which was very bad. I don't want to be a perfectionist, but I was becoming a perfectionist. And this was sort of my anti-perfectionist decision. And then going along with that, I put it online because I was so building up in my head so much, the idea of putting out music, I wanted to just be like, oh, I'll just put it online. So I did. I put it on Bandcamp. So that was technically the first music I'd ever kind of put out. I did once put out a single though, like years ago, which I took off as well. So it has been stuff floating about.
Why'd you take it off?
I just didn't really like the song anymore.
Oh, you didn't like it anymore?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
What did it feel like when you finally released that first batch of songs to the world online? Was it scary or was it liberating?
It was liberating. I did it. I basically made these sort of like homemade CDs with them. We'd like burn them on a load of CDs. I burned like 50 of them or something like that. And then I put it online and I said, you know, people can buy them if they want. The proceeds were like going to charity. And someone actually bought them, which is great. Like, I didn't actually think someone would buy them. That was really cool. I remember the first time. And on Bandcamp, it like shows you have to like then post it. So I had to like post stuff to people, which was very bad.
You went to the mailbox.
I had to go to the post office. I had to go to the post office, you know. But it was fun, you know.
That must have felt good to get your first order.
It was great. Oh, it was really good. Yeah. And like, I remember like a couple of weeks later, then we had like, or maybe that was like a month later, there was like 13 that were not mailed. So, you know, like headed down to the pub and just sort of was doing up the post. It was good, you know, it was a fun time.
I can imagine you at the pub with a pint in front of you, just writing out all of these addresses.
Yeah, well, that happened. So
that's amazing.
I can imagine it.
Well, you're beyond posting things yourself now because, you know, you've gotten a lot of traction now. And now this debut LP, Blizzard, has really kind of taken off, especially since you went on tour with Geese, too. Mm. I mean, that was kind of a big deal. Like,
it was, yeah.
Before you were playing smaller gigs and then you went on quite a large tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to talk a little bit about stepping out of the pub and onto like bigger stages?
I don't know about the step. I think there's always a lot of stepping out and because of the stepping in, you know what I mean? So uh-huh. I don't know if that's changed. But, you know, that tour was, I mean, that kind of like changed everything realistically, you know, and especially because it was weird because it's sort of allowed me to come to America at a relatively very early time in my career, you know, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And I really like playing shows over here, you know. It just sort of kind of happened out of nowhere. And we only got our visas like cleared for like 3 days before the actual thing.
Wow.
So I was like pretty certain that we were going to have to like cancel the whole thing before we got there, which would have been, you know, pretty tough because that was sort of the only thing going for us at that point in time, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It was that tour basically that I think allowed people to kind of hear the album. But there was sort of just before the tour happened, like kind of around that summer, I started to get booked on a lot more like festivals and stuff in the UK. And we did a couple in Ireland as well, but we hadn't done any in Europe. But around that point, things were slowly, gradually building. But the Geese tour was a bit beyond us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like we weren't ready for it. But I'm glad we weren't ready for it. You don't want to be too ready for it, you know?
No.
Yeah.
It's better to not know what's going to happen and you just walk in.
Exactly, yeah. That's what it was like, you know. My friend Jason, a friend of ours, you know, and he drove us around the whole place. And that was sort of, we didn't have, you know, Geese. They had obviously all sorts on their team. Ours was a little bit more ramshackle, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't really be trusting us to get the sound check on time or to not overcharge you for t-shirts and things like that, you know. So
well, I've seen the t-shirts, by the way, and they are delightful. I highly suggest that if you're listening out there, you pick one up for yourself. Guaranteed to make you attractive to anybody you want to be attractive.
Okay, yeah, it's a pig. So pigs are attractive, apparently. So there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Why am I blanking on the famous pig's name? Which, not Charlotte.
Miss Piggy. Yeah.
Hello, the most attractive pig there ever was.
She's the star. She's probably the biggest animal star there is. Is she? Maybe. Well,
she's a pretty big animal star.
She's a big animal star. She's bigger than, you know.
She's bigger than Charlotte.
I don't even know who that
Charlotte's
is.
Charlotte's Web. Do you remember that book?
Oh, yeah, Charlotte's Web. They made a movie of that, didn't they?
They made a book.
It's a book?
E.B. White.
I've never seen or heard either. Ooh. I think I've seen it. I think I've heard of it.
Okay.
I think I've heard of it.
Well,
I'll have to put
Miss
it on
Piggy
the list.
Clearly eclipses Charlotte's Web. But anyway, let's move on. Let's get into music.
Okay.
And the next song that you're going to play is like one of the first songs that we heard from you. It is such a stunning, gorgeous song, To the Sandals, and you're going to play it for us now. And actually, before you play it, why don't you give a shout out to your bandmates who are here. Did they help you make the record? Did they record it with you as well?
They did indeed, yeah. No, yeah. We recorded it all in London. And on the drums is Matthew Deacon, his name is. He's playing the synths as well. He's a exceptionally talented drummer from Haywood in North Manchester. And then playing guitar is Louis Campbell on the track. Louis actually wasn't in the studio for this song, but he was in the studio for a couple of other songs on the album. And then Fred is playing the saxophone with his sort of sax effects and things like that.
Very sexy.
It is indeed. There's no doubt about it. And sort of the album was sort of mostly me, Matt and Fred making the whole thing.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Dev Ellis live in Studio A at WFUV performing To the Sandals.
Steps. dark field to the cracked tin to the sand
A live version of To the Sandals here on WFUV. That was Dove Ellis, and you can find that song on the debut album Blizzard, as well as on the EP. It's out as a single as well. I love that one. It's so beautiful. I'm Elisa Ellie here on WFUV, talking with Tom, aka Dove Ellis. You have a quote about that song saying, "Reflections on a failing shotgun marriage in Cancun." And I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't even know if I ever said that. But I've read it as well.
Why is this out because in the world?
I don't know. I just think there's something going on. And I don't know what happened there. But that's
right,
fine. But it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. You know, people. This is the thing. People take their own meanings from songs. So
I didn't get that at all. Though.
I didn't get it either.
Doesn't make any sense.
People are crazy. You know, it's these lot of music critics. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I didn't mean that. But that's what it's all about, you know. That's what it's all about. You come up with your own interpretations. So
sure,
fair play. But I don't think I said that, anyways. But apparently,
it was like attributed to you.
It was attributed to me. I know. Yeah, as I know. I think.
Yeah,
that,
and I was gonna. I
think
like,
there was a malfunction in the chain of press or whatever you'd call it. Yeah. There must have been a malfunction there.
Something does not compute with that. But
yeah, but I've never, I don't know, as well, I don't know even, I've never been, to, have you been to Cancun?
I have been to Cancun, and I can recommend.
Oh, you could?
I can recommend. But do you want to talk a little bit about how that song came together? And you know what I did want to talk about was saxophone, because you mentioned getting sexy, right?
Yeah.
This is a very sexy record.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a very sexy sound.
Yes.
Now, the interesting thing, you use it very tastefully also.
Thank you.
I feel like in the 80s, they went crazy with saxophone. It was on everything. It was over the top.
It was rip roaring.
Yeah.
I know. I agree.
You do have a lot of saxophone on the record. So tell me what it is about the sax that appeals to you, that you are drawn to.
I mean, I have always liked the saxophone. But also, when I went to university in Manchester, me and Fred, made friends. And when we made friends, we started making music together. And I think that's ultimately why it's a big part of my music. Because I've played with Mr. Frederick Donald Mansbridge for quite a long time now, and it's been a pleasure, and it's put a lot of saxophone into my music. But as an instrument, like, it is, it's absolutely beautiful thing, you know. Like, it's very precise, the saxophone, which is nice when I'm there hammering away and it's all a load of chaos, you know. So it's a good sort of contrast to that, you know.
Do you yourself play the sax at all? Because you do play a lot of instruments.
Really, I just play the piano and the guitar. I could do a bit of bass if I need to, but there's nothing else I could play with real sort of like capability, you know.
You're a good guitarist.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. You know, I'm getting used to it. But I'm more of a piano player, really. Like, when I was young, that was sort of where I started, you know.
You're also a really incredible singer.
Thank you.
Seriously, the way that you sing is really quite moving and transporting. Uh-huh. And I think that you don't even need to know what the songs are about. As I was, you know, trying to get to, you know, what To the Sandals was about. Lyrically, it almost doesn't even matter because you're creating such an atmosphere with the way that you're singing.
Mm-hmm.
And also the way the music is arranged, as I was alluding to, with saxophone on this particular song and on other songs. So congratulations on being such a wonderful singer. Can you talk a little bit about how you started singing and what your journey was? Like, were you in the choir or something?
I don't know. I think what was good for me with singing is it was the only instrument that I've ever learned that I didn't sort of try to learn, if you know what I mean. Like, I took lessons at the piano and I took lessons at the guitar because I wanted to learn them. I never did that with singing. Once I had started playing the guitar, which was when I was about 11, and I was learning songs I liked, I was just sort of naturally singing along while I would learn the chords to a song I like or whatever. And that's really where it started. It was more there to accompany my guitar and piano playing. And I think as I started to write my own songs then, and then, you know, you have to sing them, it just sort of more and more became like a part of who I was. It's just kind of weird because growing up as a musician, it was never really at the forefront of my mind, my singing, until I was maybe in my like late teenage years. I started to become more of a important thing to me. But in the main, like, it was quite incidental.
Well, you're very talented and I guess lucky you have this natural ability.
Once I got to university, especially, I did a lot of vocal training because I was at a music school, and that really helped a lot.
I just was always curious. We were talking about your voice. Who are some of your vocal touchstones? Because I know a lot of people hear some Tom York, maybe, I don't know, some Nick Drake. Like, who are some of your favorite singers?
Well, no, I actually, like, a big part of my voice development was not just me like singing along songs that I played on the guitar. It was also just kind of trying to like imitate the music that I really liked. And when I was like 15, I was very, very into Prince. I love Prince. He was a big, I mean, I think he's kind of the only reason I ever started trying to like sing high, you know, because when I was a teenager, I wanted to sing Purple Rain and shit, you know, it was just fun. But
you should cover Purple Rain.
I don't know if I could. I feel like I couldn't really cover.
You could just cover a section of it. You don't have to do the whole thing.
A section? I could do the verse. I'll just do the verse. And that's a good idea.
You don't have to do the whole thing.
Yeah, such a good idea. I could do that with loads of songs, actually, when you think about it.
You could do a medley.
I could do a medley. I could do like, sort of like a wedding band kind of thing going on.
But anyway, so Prince was a vocal touchstone for you.
I mean, he was just like, he was just a big musical influence of mine, you know, and I think his singing kind of bled into mine. But obviously it's funny because I sing very differently to him, obviously, because I make a very different kind of music to him. But like, he was, when I was young, a big one. And then when I got a bit older, I think Gillian Welch was probably, I mean, she kind of taught me, I feel like, how to draw out a word very long in a very good way, you know. She's amazing. So, I mean, yeah, those two are probably, not just vocally, but like two artists that stick with me the most from when I was young, you know. But I mean, my voice sort of these days, if I were to, you know, listen back to the thing of me playing or singing, I mean, when I was 16, 17, like it's developed a lot. But the voice does, you know, the voice doesn't start developing until you're like 27 or something like that. It takes a while.
So your voice could change.
It could get worse. It's going to plummet. It's going to plummet in quality.
It might get deeper.
Yeah,
it might not necessarily plummet, but it might get deeper.
Plummet in pitch, maybe. That would be okay as well.
Thematically, it might get deeper too. Like, you know, also in terms of lyrically, it might get deeper.
In terms of, tone. Tone.
Lyrical tone.
I'll have to, well, there you go. We'll have to see what plummeting occurs, but it will, I'm sure. You know.
Well, I think you're going straight to the top, my friend.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
And speaking of going straight up and a voice and piano, this last song that you're going to do for us is just you on a piano and your beautiful voice. Mm-hmm. It's called Nest Amongst Stars, and it's a new one.
It is new, yeah.
When did you write this? And tell me a little bit about it.
I wrote it. God, I mean, I can't really remember, but it's actually relatively not new. I wrote it like before I made the album and stuff. Like I wrote it probably like last summer time, something like that. But yeah, I didn't put it on the album or anything, but I'd probably record it one day. But I've been enjoying playing it at shows recently and stuff. It's nice to have something. A lot of the time I play like a solo guitar song as well, but I've been kind of slightly enjoying doing solo piano at the end of shows this past week, which was, that was fun. But yeah, it's quite like a simple, slow, ballady type of thing, you know. And New York, kind of a big part in that song as well. So it's fun to sing that here.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for bringing us a New York song and playing it in New York on New York Public Radio, WFUV. Dove Ellis, live in Studio A. Days I pray for those
jumping around like fleas. Or July dry, poking around the high sea.
That was Dove Ellis performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Dove Ellis for joining us in our studio and to Black Butter Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara and Holden Buckley. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Gwen Taylor and Heather Jones. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.